Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Welcome to Truth Set Free, our Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities Q&A program. It is recorded live on Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m. with Pastor Matt Lewis and Steve Winery. You can view the live program at our Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. You can text your questions to 707-872-7677 or email them to crosswalkradio@gmail.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Truth Set Free. I'm Matt Lewis. Today, I am with Matt Kessie, so you have the Matt and Matt show today. Steve's not available, so we're here to answer your Bible questions. You do have the B team, so give us some grace. We're not Steve Winery, but this guy knows a lot. He's a youth pastor. He's been doing ministry for years. He's got a lot of wisdom, and so it should be a good show.
Does that go well? This guy knows a lot. He's a youth pastor.
Yeah, I don't know well, if that goes. It's 2024, so they're probably slamming you right now. You're getting rebuked, but I tried to do a compliment. You know, a lot going on. I would just tell you about our app. If you don't have that, you can download our app. It's got the bulletin on there, and a bunch of stuff's going on. We have the men's retreat coming up. We have a ministry conference coming up. And we're working on finishing the building up for you guys. So it's looking great. They just got carpet over there, and they're working on the lights and the sound. And so we're going to try to have the ministry conference over there at the end of this month. If you don't know, if you're watching from out of town, we just built a new Fellowship Hall sanctuary to accommodate and not only the people, but go down to two services and just there's a lot of ministry and more classrooms and stuff. And we just needed the space. And so it's been about a year or over. And so we're looking really forward to that. And that's coming soon and super excited what the Lord is going to do for that. I think that's good enough. Are you ready to jump into some questions?
Yeah. Just to kind of give it a little prequel, maybe. I was talking to Matt about this. Sometimes I cover for Matt, and sometimes I cover for Steve, as I'm doing today. So I presented this to Matt. Hey, what if we co-host this together? So Matt's going to ask me some questions, and I'm going to ask him some questions. Because Matt never gets to answer questions. And so
we're going to pipe in my two cents, but he's like, why don't you ever answer questions? I'm like, they don't want to hear what I have to say. But
he just rides the coattails.
That's exactly what I do. So, you know, we'll switch it up here. We'll banter.
Plus, I need someone to blame.
Yeah. Amen to that. That's why I do it. All right, so I'll say one more thing. If you have questions, send them to me, crosswalkradio@gmail.com. You guys can text 707-872-7677. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can also post your questions in the comments below. I do save those. Michael sends them to me. And so if we don't get them on the show that you're watching, I save those for the next show, just to let you know. So keep watching. Eventually, they'll pop up. We are playing catch-up from a couple weeks ago, but it is what it is. So good to go on that. I'm going to throw the first one up for you here, Mr. Kessie. It's from Wendy. She says this. It's in John 14, 13 through 14. I'm going to read it. It says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." She says, "I've struggled with these verses for many years. In your opinion, what exactly do they mean?" So if I ask for anything, if I ask for a Corvette in Jesus' name, well, by this verse, he's got to give it to me. So is there more going on, or what's the flavor here?
Yes, but why would you ask for a Corvette, not a Jeep?
Well, you know, I'm a city boy.
Yeah, you know, when you come across that verse, something that's important, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, so forgive me. It's one verse inside a huge dissertation that Jesus gives, right? And so you asked about John 14, but if you look at John 14, 15, 16, and 17, most of that is red letter, which means Jesus is doing all the talking. He's doing about 98, 99% of the talking there, and there's a lot that he covers. And so what I would suggest you do with that verse is read all four of those chapters, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And is that 14, 15, 16, 17? Yeah, four chapters. and really look into that, because a lot of most of this is all connected specifically with that verse. And so if you look at verse 13, and actually if I just start in verse 8, Philip asks a question and he says, "Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us." And then Jesus goes on and talks about it. And he said, he responds to that and he says, "Philip, have I been with you this long? You haven't seen the Father?" And then he goes on from there. And in verse 13, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Okay, so that's a first indication of one of the reasons why Jesus answers prayer, is so that the Father would be glorified. Okay, so when I'm praying, is that my heart, and I'm going to get into where my heart's coming from in just a second, but is that my mindset? Is that the Father, is the Father being glorified in my prayer? Because that's the point of Jesus answering my prayers, that the Father's glorified. And then the next verse is, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And I'm assuming that the emphasis of the question, like what Matt was saying concerning the Corvette, is the emphasis, I can ask whatever I want, or is the emphasis, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, I know that ask is at the beginning, and usually the emphasis is at the beginning of the sentence, but what he's doing there is he's going, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so the first point is the Father glorified? The second is that the power comes from Jesus. That's where the power comes from. If he goes, if you ask it, but you have to do it in my name. Then the third thing is, in verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, that's interesting, because he goes, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the question here is, who's in charge? Are my questions, this is what I want, I want a Corvette, give it to me? Or is there a sentiment here that I'm following Jesus's commands? And then it goes on in verse 16, and it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Okay, so there you see the whole Trinity is involved in my prayers. So Jesus, we know, he's the intercessor between us and God, right? And so I can't come to the Father except through Christ. He's my high priest, if you will. So he's going to the Father, and then the Father's, it seems to be, he's given us a helper that he may abide with you forever. So apparently my prayers are an outpouring of a spirit. So that's the fourth thing. And then the fifth thing that I was even kind of considering was, previously in John chapter 11, you have the whole deal with Martha, and they send word to Jesus and ask him to come because Lazarus is sick. "Will you come? Lazarus is sick," you know, the one that you love. And so Jesus waits like 3 days. And by the time he gets there, Lazarus is dead. That's all intentional by the Lord. He does that on purpose. And we find out that the reason he's doing it on purpose is because he's trying to teach his disciples that he's going to rise again from the dead, because they didn't believe it. And so he's using this as an opportunity, as an object lesson for that. And one of the things that Martha says there, when she hears that Jesus shows up, she approaches him. And it says, she goes up to Jesus and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." So what you have here is Martha getting the thing that she asked for, but just not the way that she was intending to get it. And I kind of look at that as something that's kind of snooty. That's just the way that I take it. I could be wrong. But she asked for the Lord to come. He didn't show up on time. And so she's a little upset. And she goes to the Lord. She says, "If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." Mary, just right after this, she says the exact same words. "If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." But she says it at Jesus' feet. She gets on her knees and she prostrates herself before the Lord, and she says, "Lord, if, you know, there's a concern there. There's a heartbrokenness in that statement." With Mary, it's accusatory. And so that follow-up response, "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." she's got an attitude in that. But the statement's still true. Is that she made a request to God, and that was followed through, just not the way that she intended it to be. And that's one of the things that I need to take into consideration in my prayers, is I've seen that happen a lot in my life, where I, even my ministry, I've asked God to answer prayers but it's not the way that I thought it would be. One of the things I've asked God for is to give me patience. And I thought that the way that he would give me patience is just by somehow through osmosis, through the spirit, I would just be the serene person. You know what I mean? But it wasn't that way. The way that God gave me patience was making me hit every red light. And so God answers my prayers, just not the way that I want him to. And so I have to kind of keep that into consideration. There's another, in that same passage, he goes on, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And so there's something significant about having the word in my heart. And in the next chapter, he gets even more detailed about that. In verse 7, he goes, if you abide in me, this is John chapter 15, verse 7. He goes, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Now I'm beginning to find out how my prayers are to be presented to the Lord, and they're supposed to be presented in a specific way, and that's according to his word. So am I praying God's will? Am I praying his word? And if I'm praying God's will, and if I'm praying his word, and that is my will is that the word of God is coming to fruition, and that my prayer is that the will of God is done, then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to have my prayers answered, right? And so that is essential to my prayer life too, that I'm praying his will and then I'm praying his word. If I know his word, then I know his will. And then finally in chapter 16, in verse 23, you come across something peculiar. And I was just kind of, it just jumped out to me right before we came on. So this is something I want to dive into a little bit more. So forgive me. But in chapter 16, verse 23, he says, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. That's interesting. He goes, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And so in chapter 14, he's dealing with the question that Philip is asking him, show us the Father. And then Jesus talks about prayer life. In chapter 15, he's talking about abiding in him. Chapter 16, he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. And then in chapter 17, he starts praying for his disciples is what he does. And so the reason that I'm saying that is because in chapter 16, when he's talking about being filled with the Spirit, it's probable that what he's talking about is in that day, you will ask me nothing. And I don't mean like you never talk to me again. But there's a couple different things that some people look at this. One, it could be the reason that you're asking me nothing is because right after that it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll ask you. So some guys think that Jesus is saying, you're going to go to the Father, but you're going to go to the Father in my name. Some guys think that when he says, in that day you'll ask me nothing, it's the idea that there's a difference in my request to God. My request could be out of ignorance, like, what is your will for me? Because I don't know what it is. Or your requests to God are specifically requests, like you're wanting something. And, you know, will you heal my friend or something along that nature? And so in the sense of ignorance, Jesus is saying, you won't ask me anything because you'll come to understanding. I'm going to give you the Spirit and you're going to know these things. And I say that because what he's doing in these chapters, he's specifically speaking to his disciples. And it's not that the promises of God are different to us than they are to the disciples, but you got to keep in mind the time frame here of what's going on and what's about to happen. And he's going to be, you know, obviously he's going to die, he's going to resurrect, and then he's going to give them the Spirit, and then they're going to go off and start the church, and it's going to explode. And all I'm saying is that the disciples are a different animal than we are. So a lot of this could be specifically directed to them. Not that those promises aren't the same to us, but this could be something that's specific to these guys and about what they're going to be doing. But nonetheless, you want to keep kind of those five things in mind. One is that the Father is glorified in my prayer, that the power is in the name of Christ. That's why I pray in Jesus' name, that his commandments supersede my wishes, and that my prayers are an outpouring of his Spirit. And then back with the Martha thing, that God's going to answer my prayers, but likely they're going to be different than what I was expecting. And so I kind of want to keep all those things in mind when it comes to that one little verse that you asked. if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it.
So I'm more of a simpleton, but so the practical application of this to me is this. If I ask for anything in his name, if I'm in God's will and I'm praying through the power of the Holy Spirit and it's something that God aligns with, it's going to be done. If I'm outside of that, then it's not. And so a lot of people use this, you know, like let's just say praying for healing. So I'll go to pray for somebody, God, will you heal this person? And it doesn't happen. And so people will say, oh, well, the reason it didn't happen is because you don't have enough faith. And to what Matt was alluding to or speaking of, God's not going to do it the way that you thought. Could it be if someone doesn't get healed that I didn't have enough faith or that they didn't have enough faith? Yeah, that could be. Could it be that God is doing another work and that not healing is going to preach the gospel by their life testimony to people who would never consider it despite those circumstances? Maybe I get put in a wheelchair and I pray that God would heal me and I get my legs back. And God, and I ask in faith and by the will of God, will you heal me? And God doesn't do it. What if that actually keeps me in a position where I am following him the rest of my life? And if he would have healed me, maybe I walk away from him because I'm in my flesh and he knows all those things. I've heard people say there's a verse that says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And it kind of goes to if I ask or say anything in Jesus' name. And I've had people use this while I'm counseling. And they'll say, I had one dude say some off the wall statement. And he goes, but I'm saying it in Jesus is Lord. And no one can say that except by the Holy Spirit. And he tried to tie God's will, asking for this thing or saying this thing, in this whacked out theology that he just made up. And so it doesn't work like that. The nuts and bolts is, if I'm following the Lord and the power from the Holy Spirit is what gets these things done, and I'm in God's will, it's going to be done for you, whatever you ask. If it's other things going on, or I'm not asking according to his will, or multiple other things that could be taking place, then I have to give account for that. And so the other trap I see here, not to make this a whole long thing, but this is where the health and wealth prosperity gospel comes from, that you will be healthy and wealthy and wise because if you ask for anything in Jesus' name, by that verse, it's demanded that he owes that to you, is the flavor. Right. Don't fall into that trap. The best life now, name it and claim it, you know, I'm rich because I believe it and I ask for the Lord to provide for me. That is not what that Bible verse is saying.
And yeah, I think that's clear. And that's why I encourage you to read 14, 15, 16, and 17. Just study out those four, because Jesus is talking the whole time in those passages. But specifically with the verse that you asked, 13, 14, 15, and 16, those were the points that I was bringing up, is one, that the Father's glorified, two, that the power comes from Jesus, three, that his commandments supersede mine, and then four, my prayers are an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The mention of delay is just what I got from John chapter 11 previously. But what Matt was talking about concerning faith, that's an element that I intended to bring up too, because in Mark 11, what Jesus says is that I'm supposed to believe what I pray. And so I'm not throwing up flippant requests to heaven like I am, you know, these are my wishful thoughts. Jesus said, when you pray, you need to believe it. If you believe it, then it will happen. But again, that's all flavored in me being filled with the Spirit, me abiding. And then that last point, John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. So you see a partnership between my Spirit and the Holy Spirit playing together, working together, if you will, getting along when it comes to my prayer life. And I think this is going to kind of play into another question that we have about prayer. If we get to it. But I think that's the intention when Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room by yourself, because there's an intimacy there and there's a closeness with the Lord that I'm supposed to have in my prayer life that's beyond just, you know, praying in my meals and, you know, praying when someone's sick, and, you know, when I have a need or a question, I pray about it and stuff like that. There's supposed to be an intimate closeness. There's, you know, he uses the word abide, and that's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be abiding in him. If I am, if I'm abiding in him and his spirit is in me and it's working through me and I'm praying his word, then my desires are his, and the will of his word is being presented to the Father. And yeah, then I'm going to have my prayers answered. And that's what I'm aiming for. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And so if you want your prayers answered, then do it in the spirit and abiding in Christ and according to the word, and then your prayers will be answered. That's how you get your prayers answered.
Amen. All right.
Cool.
Next one.
Okay, so this was a good question. This is actually one that was a little bit convicting, actually. This is from a lady named Natalie, and she says, "Hello, my question is that our three grown sons do not stay in contact with each other, and it makes us sad." And I get that. My mom is always wanting the family to get together. This is a mom thing. Moms just want the family to be together, love each other, be close, and especially, I don't know if especially is the right term, but it really becomes significant, I should say, when the kids leave the house. There's that whole empty nest syndrome and all of that. And you just want your children to love each other and be close. So it makes us sad. Is this how it is? That's a good question. Is this how it goes? That siblings grow up and distance themselves socially from each other? We wish they were closer with each other. And we wonder if we did something wrong in not teaching them to keep in contact. The only time they are together is when we make plans for them to be with us on family occasions. It's a good question.
And there's a lot of things that I would like to say, so let's just see how this goes.
Here we go.
Is it wrong? Well, it depends on the person's heart, right? And so if they have bitterness, if they have hatred towards their brother, Jesus made it clear that you can't hate your brother and love God. So if I'm seeing attitudes like that in my siblings, if I'm seeing sibling rivalries, hard heart, rebellion, that type of thing, then I'm going to be pulling my kids aside and talking to them about where they're at with their brothers and sisters. And that is not just when they're in the home. You know, a mom and a dad to me is a mom and a dad, and that's going to continue when my kids leave the house. Now, it's going to change. When they become adults, they get to start making their own decisions, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop speaking truth into my children's lives. And so if I see that going on, then I'm going to bring them together and address it. I think when it comes to, did we do something wrong? You know, that's something I try not to play that game, and this is why. It would be good if we raise our kids in the Lord, and fathers, speaking of myself, bring their children up in the training and admonition of the Lord, as the Bible says. That would be the best situation. And so there can be regret by not doing that. And part of that is conviction from the Holy Spirit to drive you into a certain way that God wants you to be parent to child. And so that can be a good thing. But I don't sit there and let Satan beat me up and tool me on that stuff, because I can't change anything. So if God's revealing that to me, I go, okay. And then I move on into the area that I'm supposed to address. And I don't spend time going, oh, I messed my kids up. Because here's the reality. I'm a sinner, man. There is no way my kids are going to live with me for 18 or 20 years and I'm not going to mess them up. I'm going to do things wrong. You know what I mean? So I pray to the Lord that he covers that. And I just want them to follow him wholeheartedly. And then all the details are left up between them and the Lord.
That's all the time we have for this week. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, email us at crosswalkradio@gmail.com or send us a text at 707-872-7677. God bless.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday morning service times are 7:30, 9:15, and 11:15, and our Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.